Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and PT pearls to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
All right, diving into episode 100, so much amazing stuff to kind of review and recap after 100 episodes of the Optimal Body Podcast. So crazy. But first, something super exciting is we're doing a giveaway.
Well, more exciting than that, I think, is the fact that we just got married, but not when we're listening to
I suppose this exciting too.
Episode right now. Right now we're recording this and we're still over a month out.
A year engaged, but over a month out from the wedding.
Yeah, exactly.
Once this releases, we'll be married for 3 days, so you can congratulate us in the review that you leave in order to win one of the $100 like prizes to the Optimal Body membership. So,
which, how much does that get you if you do $100 of the Optimal Body membership?
That gets you about 4 months, or we'll give you 4 months of the membership for free, which gives you 12 workouts. You get 4 HIIT workouts, 4 core workouts, mobility flows, and the muscle activations,
five
muscle activations on top of that, along with recipes that I create.
And mindset tools.
Mindset tools as well. So this whole library.
And a community of a Facebook group, which I jump on live every single week to answer questions, yes, to move with people. It is an incredible community. So many amazing people. And in order to win this, so yes, please subscribe, leave a review. But in order to win, you actually have to screenshot your review, send it into our email, jen@docgenfit.com. jen@docgenfit.com. Email us your review, because then we know who we're picking for the winners, first of all, because sometimes it's just a random name of a review, right? So we need to see that you left the review. Email that over to us and you'll have a chance. There's 10 people that can win. Yeah. So definitely get a review in. Worth it.
Unfortunately, when you just leave a review, it doesn't like tell us who you are. So that's very necessary. If you do want to leave a review and think that the information that we've been sharing is awesome, that actually really helps the podcast be seen more if we get some more reviews too. So we want to give back to y'all as our incredible podcast community, but would appreciate a review for that.
And now we actually asked for some questions.
Yeah, listener reviews.
So, you know, if you guys like this and appreciate it, we can add it in more later on.
Yeah, I love to hear questions from people because, again, we normally try to get topics from people, like whether they leave comments or ask Jen on Instagram or myself, like, hey, you should do a podcast on this. We try to bring that into what we do for some of our episodes, but actually getting listeners' voices on here asking us questions, it's going to be fun. So why don't we listen to the first question?
Yep.
Hi, my question is in regards to chronic pain. So often people derive a large sense of their self-worth from their job, marriage, and achievements, but health challenges can affect your ability to succeed with those things. What is a good way to approach chronic pain without letting it affect your sense of self-worth? Thanks.
Wow, that's a good question. I don't think one that we've directly addressed, how chronic pain can really impact our sense of purpose, our sense of self-worth, especially in the workplace or within being able to interact socially with people.
And that is a part of that biopsychosocial model. And that's why, you know, as physical therapists, we're seeing this shift into, well, if we're actually going to treat this injury, treat this diagnosis, we have to look at that whole model itself, because it goes into all these areas. So bio meaning the body, psycho the mind, but then also socially. Yeah. And that dives into self-worth, because if you don't feel like you can show up, you know, you can't go hang out with people, you can't go ride a bike, you can't go run with a group of people because you're in pain.
Yeah.
It of course is going to affect the self-worth that you're experiencing.
And this is something that Jen and I connected on really early. We met at a PT conference, and when in our initial conversations, we just really noticed how the other person talked to the whole individual.
Yeah.
And how we're never going to have somebody in our office saying like, okay, back pain, we are just scoping, honing in on the back.
Yeah.
Again, there's many other places in the body physically that we need to look at. But also, like you just said, like, we can't separate a person's pain from what they're feeling socially, from what they're feeling psychologically, emotionally, everything, spiritually. That all plays into the scope of why we're feeling pain. And I think that's a great place that I like to start with people that may be dealing with some sort of persistent or chronic issue, is What do you want to do? What brings you joy? What brings you happiness? Let's list off 5 to 10 things. Because then when we keep those at the center of the scope of this conversation of pain, it becomes less about the pain and it becomes more about the things that we need to and want to do in life to be able to feel fulfilled, like the listener asked.
And bring us joy. I mean, it's beyond like, well, I can't bend down and pick something up. Well, I can't bend down and play with my grandkids. Yeah. I can't, you know, and that is what brings you purpose. That's what drives your self-worth a lot of times. So, you know, when we're looking at the goal, it's beyond just the movement goal and it's the goal of life. What do you want to do in life that's going to help drive this? And how are we going to move toward that? And I also, like Dom said, yes, we're looking at, you know, the movement and everything, but we're also talking about when is this pain coming on? Because if we help to identify what time in your life that you're at or your experience, like I've had so many clients where it's like, well, Monday through Friday, my pain is worse.
On the weekend,
for some
I feel
reason,
great.
Saturday and Sunday. And their concept of that is like, well, I'm sitting at my desk all day, so no wonder I have more pain. And I'm like, yeah, okay. But are you sitting in a car? Are you sitting watching your kid's game? Are you sitting, you know, there's other places that you're sitting as well. So what else could be driving that? And when we start to take a step back and really look at the entire picture in totality of our environment and how that affects us physically, we're able to get so much deeper into the root cause of what's having and driving this pain.
Yeah, and it really helps us understand how stress in general, whether good stress or bad stress, can add to that scope of that pain.
Mm-hmm.
Again, so many people who deal with these chronic and persistent pains and aches and stuff, they will focus on the pain and what it limits them from doing.
Right.
They'll focus on the pain and the negative things about it.
Right.
You know, rather than kind of we're pointing out, okay, how can we find the things that we do enjoy in life and how is our pain feeling during that point?
Mm-hmm.
And so it can help us to understand how this overall stress balance adds into the scope of how we perceive pain, right? Especially with chronic and persistent issues, we know that we just develop these internal pain patterns that if we start doing a certain activity, if we start thinking about a certain motion, like bending down to pick something up, it can trigger these pain sensors and pain patterns in our body that will start to increase that level already, you know, before we actually do something.
But, and I think that just highlights again why, you know, feeling like, why am I having this and beating yourself up for it and lowering that self-worth is not worth it. Because when you're experiencing pain, it's normal. It's a part of the process. It's a part of life. And you're not alone in this. And I think that is, you know, something that we get to remember and consistently come back to. Pain is a good thing. Pain is our alarm system. If we don't have pain, that's when it's bad, because then we're not signaling something that we need to pay attention to, or our body isn't there to protect us. Pain is our protector. Pain is our alarm system. So it is a great thing when we have that system in play. And so if we start thinking of pain as a gift and communicating with it through our lives so that we understand, well, what can I do in this moment, you know, that's going to help drive me forward rather than what can't I do? And I think you touched on that exactly. You know, when you're in pain, it's just like, I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't. And like, of course, your self-worth is going to start to lower because we're only focusing on the negative rather than, well, what can I do? Can I get out of bed? Can I still, you know, show up for people? Can I... whatever it is, like, what can you do within your body that you can start to focus on?
Yeah. And a lot of those things, again, a lot of people will go to the physical things and like, well, I can't do a lot of the physical things. So that's where a lot of the things might have to do with different mindset shifts, journaling, growing your social support systems, knowing who's in your family or who's in your friend circles that you can reach out to about these things, as well as breath work. I know anytime I'm dealing with somebody who has breath or who has chronic and persistent aches and pains, like we do breath and teach them how just taking 10 calming breaths and shifting their mind a little bit can immediately impact the way they feel. So,
which is the other thing we connected on when we met.
Breath work. And we talk about it in a lot of different episodes.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Hopefully that gives a couple ideas about how to keep that self-worth at the front. Have some compassion and kindness for yourself within that.
Grace for yourself.
Have some grace for yourself and yeah, know that that doesn't define you. It's just a feedback system that we do have an ability to impact.
It's just part of our journey.
Totally.
So, it's all good.
All right. Move on to the second question.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Christy, and my question is, how do you know when to take a break? How do you know if your body is sore or if you're in pain, and how to tell the difference between the two, and whether it's just a rest day or whether you need to take more days off to figure out if your body is sore or in pain?
Another question we get a lot.
This is a great question.
Yeah. And I think that especially if you're not somebody who is consistently working out a lot or doing a specific type of workout and you start something new,
yeah,
you can have some really sudden aches and pains, what might feel like pains come on, and that can kind of scare us for, and be like, oh my gosh, what did I do? Why am I so sore? Why are my hips on fire when I'm just walking up the stairs or going to sit on the toilet? Like, and that makes people say like, I can't do this. That was painful.
Yep. I remember a client one time, and I was a student, and she came back, and this isn't a physical therapy office, so we're not personal training or anything, but some things can feel like that. And she came and she was like, I almost went to the ER the other day. I was hurting so bad. And then I realized it was soreness. Yeah, because a lot of these things you've never done before, and we're waking up muscles that you're not used to. And so like initially, I think, one, acknowledging if you've never done something before and it's brand new to you, it's usually soreness. Like I even remember the first time I deadlifted super heavy, never done that movement. My low back was a little sore and I was like, I hurt myself. I've damaged something. And it and it wasn't. It was just that it was new movement for me that my body was getting acquainted with. And so I think if we first start to say, okay, if it's soreness, can I still move? Where movement patterns can I do? And maybe I'm just not going to lift as heavy again, but I'm still going to move. It's going to be okay. And if it goes away in like 3, sometimes 5 days, if it's really, really new, you know, then it's okay.
And that's actually called DOMS, the delayed onset muscle soreness, that again, when we haven't activated something in a while and suddenly we do a lot of work with it, we put a lot of tension through certain muscles, our body needs to catch up and say, oh shoot, what did we just do?
Yeah.
Let's put more muscle tissue here because we need a repair in a way that's going to allow us to do this easier the next time.
Mm-hmm.
So that soreness you feel, that's where I say, oh, thanks. This is the growing period.
Exactly.
Now let's make sure we're getting enough rest. Now we're make sure we're getting enough fuel in to be able to rebuild well. And again, to the listener's point who asked the question, like that may be a time that you need to take it a little bit easier. You don't want to completely stop. You want to teach those muscles as they're rebuilding. Okay, maybe this is where we do some more active mobility work. We get into unweighted movements that were similar to what we were doing just to teach those muscles like, yeah, that was good stuff. Now let's rebuild in that same pattern that will allow us to do it better and stronger next time.
And we have to realize that we have to take these breaks. Like we have to pull back if we want to grow. Like that's just a part of the journey. You have to have recovery days. You have to have days of just going for a walk and not lifting and not doing a crazy HIIT workout and allowing that rest time in order to be able to come back and lift a little bit heavier next time and go a little bit more and start to progress. Progression isn't made by going hard every single day.
Yeah. And a lot of people will say like, oh, I used to run all the time and I just went back and I only ran 3 miles and I can hardly walk this morning. Again, how long of a break did you take?
Right.
Are you at a different stage in life? You know, were you doing athletics and other things and you would just go for 5 mile runs all the time and now you've been working in a job for a few years and then try going back to running 3 miles? Like that could be pretty aggressive on our system and our body needs to catch up and say, okay, I remember how to do this, but we need a little time to recover between these sessions. So your body talks to you and lets you know a lot of the times if it was too much or if it was something that, hey, I might just need 2 or 3 days of recovery before we do something that intense again.
And if you feel like you found, like you heard a snap or if you felt something that is completely out of the norm, like say this isn't new movement for you and you've been doing this for a long time and then something weird happened. That's when it is okay to go see a physical therapist, to go see a clinician near you and say, hey, I just want to get this checked out first. Because, you know, sometimes one, it's hard always to get an appointment with your primary care doctor, and then would they need to refer you to someone else to really get imaging, and then what, you know, it goes down a really long process sometimes that's not always necessary, and going in first defense chiro or physical therapist to kind of get in and see what's happening, and then if they need more imaging they can refer.
Yeah, and that's where we talk about to the second part of the question, like pain, what's actual pain that I need to be maybe concerned about or take an extended break. And I think what we said, 3 to 5 days, if the soreness hasn't gone away, if it stayed at the same exact level that it was at previously, or like
getting worse.
I'm just walking around and it's getting worse, you know, that's something where it's like, okay, maybe we should go get something checked out, talk to somebody who might be able to assess this a little more in depth.
Exactly. So if it hasn't changed, if it can't change by breath work or stretching or you know, sleep.
If you wake up and it's really, really sore, but you start walking a little bit and it gets better just with a little bit of like walking or a little bit of movement, like that might be something that's just an achiness or a soreness from the workout. If you wake up and there's like significant bruising over the area that you noticed some sort of sound in or that you noticed was or swelling, like significant swelling, that might be something that you might want to get a little second opinion on.
Yeah. And you don't want to just ignore it too, because I've had people who like, oh, I can't lift my arm very high, so I'm just going to stop lifting it. You know, you don't want to fall into these patterns where it's like, well, I just don't want to move into this area anymore, because that can lead to other restrictions and other pains down the road. So if it's limiting you in your range of motion fully, like even if it's sore to get there, but you can still get there. But if you're not even going there, go get checked out.
Yeah, definitely. I think we have one last question we're going to go over.
Yep.
Hi, Doc Jen. Question for you. After being in and out of physical therapy for the past 3.5 years and dealing with chronic pain in my right knee due to overuse in exercising and running, will I ever be completely pain-free?
Okay, so this is another, I think, great question. It kind of relates into the first question with the chronic pain question, where we can almost parlay off of that and say, you know, if you've been experiencing something in your body for years, for 5 years, for 10 years, and if I talk to my story, I have some back pain spots that kind of pop up for me fairly consistently. This is an interesting conversation, because you never want to tell someone that, yeah, you're going to be in pain the rest of your life, but you never want to just tell somebody like, yes, we can get rid of this completely and you will never feel it again. Because a lot of times that's not the case.
Yeah. The reality is your body remembers. And like we have what are called like neurotags within the brain that develop patterns based on experiences of pain that we've had in the body. And so if you've hurt your back and at the same time you lost your job or or something traumatic happened.
I got in a bad car accident.
Around that same time, you then have multiple layers of pain that have been triggered in the mind. And so now if stress happens, if something related to a car accident or, you know, that pain might start to feel again and nothing physically changed.
Totally. And I think that going back to kind of this concept of stress and how that, you know, talks to us through this perception of pain. You know, you mentioned what happened. So for me, I had a few lifting accidents, I would call them, where I remember my back really having a twinge, me collapsing while I was lifting. Played football, so I got my brain rattled around by a bunch of big 300-pound men that were smashing their heads into mine. That sounds brutal, but that's what you do. and a car accident.
Yeah.
So like all three of these things where now if I'm just working in a stressful day, I can just I can feel my neck and my traps and my back just start to protect because what they're remembering is last time we were this stressed out, or in the past we've had these experiences where we needed to protect these areas.
Exactly. And so pain starts to elicit again.
Yeah.
And it can feel scary and it can be something of like, do I need to get this checked out further? And is this bad? And if it's something that's consistent, chronic, pops up, and you can start to kind of note when it's going to happen. Like I know, you know, in my experience that I go back to all the time is just getting in a car accident and my shoulder blade flaring up. And I thought it was so cool. I was like, oh my gosh, my shoulder blade is flared up because I'm in stress. And I know that I'm in stress because I just got in a car accident. And I was actually super excited about it because it just confirmed, you know, like nothing physically with me was wrong. Yeah. And I was stressed. And the moment that I acknowledged it, I I don't know if it was just I was distracted and now I had to take care of the accident that was in front of me, but yeah. it went away.
So we developed these neural tags.
Yes.
Right? And what my recommendation is, what's worked for me, is how do we have a neural disrupt? How do we disrupt that rut?
How do you recognize it and become aware of it?
So you start to become aware of it, and then how do we start to form a different pattern?
Yeah.
And depending on how long we've been feeling something, patterns can become pretty ingrained in our system. You know, we are like a machine that learns like a computer, and we have to start typing in a new program. Yeah, and sometimes
it takes time.
It takes about 6 weeks to even start to set roots of a new program in our brain. And so for me, hip mobility, upper back mobility, some neck and core stability stuff, breath work. If I lay down for 10 minutes and throw a couple of those things in there, I immediately start to kind of knock down that stress and therefore knock down my pain.
Yeah, we got to have my friends over from ICANN on integrated kinetic neurology, because this is the course that I went over this a lot with them. And, you know, what they talk about too is that you can even place, like, say, to back pain that continues to pop up, place your hand literally on your back and then do some slow breath work into that, and like acknowledge why you're feeling it, the stress that you're in, and then taking those slow intentional breaths just to kind of, you'll be surprised of how much it can release. And if it releases in that instant, then we know it's more of that, like, my mind is remembering this kind of thing. And also, like, the woman that we know, you know, who's in her 80s and has run every single day of her life, she says that she gets up and, you know, someone asked if she was ever in pain. She's like, yeah, of course. I'm 80. Of course I have some pains, but I get out and I run. And so the goal is never to not feel pain. It's how are we going to move through life despite, and or not despite, but with the signaling of pain still in my life.
Yeah, and work with it in a way that it's not going to talk to us as much or as loudly.
Yeah.
Because again, are we going to feel pain the rest of our lives? Well, I hope so. Because again, exactly. Like we talked about, that's our alarm system. That's what's going to tell us when stress in our life is at a point that we might not be able to manage, when old pains and injuries might be talking to us. It's happening for a reason. Mm-hmm. And so rather than trying to attack the pain, like, attack the purpose, back to what we were talking about in the chronic pain answer, like, what is the purpose? What's the reason we want to be or have less pain or be pain free? Focus on those purposes. How do we move towards that goal while keeping this pain signaling in our body at more of a relatively low level?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, not easy answers.
No.
Definitely tough questions to kind of like distill down into 5 to 6 minute answers. But
what's great too is that we've had a lot of guests on the podcast who have dealt with their own pain experiences.
Yeah.
I remember Michael Lau, who's a physical therapist. He's talked about his chronic pain experiences. Steffi Cohen, strongest freaking woman
alive.
Who's talked about her back pain experiences and chronic pains, right? So these things have come back. Natalie Jill Fitt. Who else? We've had a podcast talking about acute versus chronic pain. We've had another physical therapist on who does integrative medicine, who's talked about this journey of chronic pain. So again, you're not alone.
Yeah.
You're not alone. We as humans, if we want to feel functional and fun and free and lift and explore and do different things, we're going to have experiences of pain. And it's going to come with it.
For sure. So moving from some guest questions, now I want to review some of our favorite moments from the first 100 episodes and some of our favorite guests that we had in. And going back to one of our favorite moments, literally when we launched the podcast, we launched 8 episodes.
Yeah.
It was just a really big moment, of course, because we're launching this big thing together. And our very first guest, Kelly Starrett, who has been like an OG physical therapist putting out information online.
He led the way for us as physical therapists. No matter what you feel about him as a physical therapist, he led the way.
Like, and just as practitioners in general, just getting your information out online, making it accessible to a lot of people. One of my favorite messages that I heard him say and kind of like repeat in our first episode, he was our very first guest, is that we need, as humans, to be able to do our daily maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be empowered in our bodies to know those few things that we can do to knock down those pains that we feel on a daily basis, to knock down those things that start talking to us throughout the day or in certain movements. And we live in a society right now that instead of teaching people how they can do it on their own, teaches people that they need to be dependent on something else.
Yeah, exactly. He had such a beautiful message. He spoke a lot and told us a lot of great information. And that was episode 3. So I think that you should definitely and go back and check that one out.
We'll play a little clip from the episode because he just had so many amazing pearls.
And by the way, you already have this diagnostic tool. And what we call them is movement vital signs. You know, like you can run around with really high blood pressure. I know a lot of people who do, but we know that that's not right. Good blood pressure, right? We know that if your resting heart rate is 100, that's probably not great. So we all have really comfortable with this idea of vital signs, but we realized we needed to put movement and make movement quality or movement capacity an essential vital sign and then demystify it, put it back into the language of the person. Air squats, push up, burpee, pull up. That's the formal language of movement. And then once we start to have that, what you see is that people can go spend those credits the way they want.
So one of my favorites, and this is, you know, this is just a testimony of the people that we have around us as well.
Yeah.
So Julia Glanz, mm-hmm. One of my best girlfriends, episode 29, she is a registered dietitian and just an overall nerd, which is why I love her so much too. She
super
does
nerd.
All the research in nutrition that I need to know.
Read scientific research for fun.
For fun.
Yeah, she doesn't watch Netflix.
Nope.
She reads research.
Mm-hmm. And she actually, beyond just her amazing message and education and what she was saying, I asked her a question on the podcast that she hadn't quite come out with publicly yet. And I didn't know this. I you know, her, as friends, we talk so openly about what we're experiencing in our bodies and all of that. And so I asked her a question. She was like, oh my gosh, I've never talked about this publicly before. But she went into it and she spoke about it. And what I appreciated in that moment is beyond the educator, beyond the person who's doing the research and giving the information, here's someone who's in her own journey and is real about the experience that even though I teach it, like I'm still in it.
Yeah.
And that's us as physical therapists, always we're in it as well. We're still learning. We're still exploring the body, and it's beyond just reading the research, but it's implementing the tools into our own lives. And I mean, I could point out so many of our friends that have been on the podcast as well, who speak into this vulnerability, this realness, this authenticity of I'm not just here to deliver the work and make money off of it, but I'm here to actually do the work myself. And I'm in the journey too.
And I think the coolest thing about those episodes specifically where people are like, I'm kind of nervous about this coming out. I'm kind of nervous to share this. I mean, we just had another friend whose episode recently came out who was talking about this, and the overwhelming like support that they get, but also the overwhelming of the amount of people that reach out and say like, I'm dealing with this too.
Mm-hmm.
And what you said is now empowering me to dive in more, to understand that I have more control over this.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I shared some things about myself throughout these episodes, I've had more support coming in and also more people reaching out to me and saying like, hey, can you get me more resources on this too? So it grows when you're real, it grows your healing circle and it grows the circle of the people that are around you that might help you grow through it or learn how to deal with what's going on in your life, or you can also help them.
Exactly. And these guests are not just educators, but they're vulnerable, they're authentic, they're real. And that's why we appreciate like just so many people that we've had on.
Yeah. So here's a little clip from Julia's episode.
When people feel stuck, if you are listening to this and you feel like you've done all the right things, you're doing all the right things, you're eating healthy, you're exercising, take a look at all the stressors in your life and see if it could potentially be too much. Because when it becomes too much, your body gets placed into storage mode. And more specifically, it stores in areas where you carry the most fat. So your belly, your upper chest, your arms. And so when people have that visceral fat, it's a vicious cycle because that visceral fat leads to excess estrogen, which leads to potentially more inflammation, which leads to more stress, more cortisol, which leads to more fat, which leads to more visceral fat, and so on and so forth. So that's the beautiful picture of what happens when your body's too stressed and you still feel like you're doing all the right things and it's not working.
All right. So the last episode we're going to kind of think back to is one Molly Parker, who came on. She was also a part of our launch. She's another physical therapist that we just adore and puts out amazing information. And I specifically connect with this because she dealt with a huge, long journey of post-concussive symptoms.
Yeah.
That really, really impacted her life. And
significantly, could not walk, cannot read, cannot stand for very long,
for years. Yeah.
She was a physical therapist.
Yeah. And the thing that was sad listening to her story is that she's a physical therapist. She's someone who goes through the schooling and like should be a provider that kind of can recognize this and like kick it out to someone else who might be more, you know, educated or have the skill set to deal with this. But it's something that's just not looked for in our medical system. We don't look again into people's brains and why they might be having these emotional or these psychosocial, psychosomatic type symptoms. You know, we always just chalk it up to people being crazy or just chalk it up to like, oh no, you shouldn't be feeling that. You're fine. Your MRIs look fine.
Or if that's what's happening, like, I guess that's just what you're going to have to live with.
You're going to deal with it for the rest of your life.
Yeah, like, I guess your leg's going to kick out every single step you take and you're just like, that's how you're going to live. Like, that is what she was told. It's just mind-boggling. And the reason, you know, I bring her up too, or we bring her up, is because episode 7, hearing her message, hearing her story, I think more people get to be supported in this journey. Even with you having played football and having other concussive symptoms and stuff, like, there's a lot that I will never be able to understand. There's a lot that, you know, someone who hasn't gone through that will never get it. I know I won't. So I can't say that I will, but I think that that message needs to be out there so that more people start to be able to hold the space, understand it, and feel like they can be supported if they're going through those journeys.
Yeah. Even since some of those episodes have come out, since I've shared a lot of these things on the stories on my own Instagram, I've had past football teammates reach out to me and say, like, I need this. I'm going to start following this person. I'm going to get into this program, whatever it may be. So again, growing that healing circle by being real, by sharing the things you're experiencing, not everyone's going to understand it, but the more you share, the more you're going to come across the people who can be in that circle and that community for you that will help you grow and learn how to survive and thrive in life beyond that. So here's a little clip from Molly's episode, just to kind of get her take on what was going on in her life.
But what we're finding is, even, you know, I didn't start getting treatment for 4 or 5 years, right? And at that point, people, you know, I was told, you're going to be disabled for the rest of your life. This is it. I could barely speak. I could barely think. I had a drop in my IQ. I had personality changes. I couldn't read. I couldn't write. Couldn't drive. Could barely stand up because I was starting to pass out. I mean, it was everything that could have gone wrong did. And now I've probably improved about 80% since then. So this idea that, like, we can't treat these things at all is, like, a load of crap. And the idea that if you are out a certain amount of time that you can't treat them, not the case. These things are treatable. And so now I'm working with my friend and colleague, and we're hoping to get the last bit. But, like, we just had a session yesterday, and I felt significantly better afterwards. So, like, I'm still responding, still improving. And so we're hoping that I will get back to functional here soon. But it's just, it's been a long road. And it's why I do what I do, because it just, you know, I'm a case of poor concussion management and the effects that can have. So now I work with people to make sure they don't end up like me.
And if you've stumbled upon our podcast just by chance or listening to something and you're not quite sure who we are, beyond just what you see on social media, because it's just a glimpse into the life, right? You can hear more of our story in episode 2. Dom and I go over how we met, that incredible journey, that story. Every episode we've opened up about, you know, anything that's going on with us or that we're, need to talk to, whether it's a relationship podcast or something, like, we're open, we're talking about it. So you can continue to follow our journey and hear about who we are, what we're about,
yeah,
why we're doing this together as physical therapists, as now a newly married couple.
Probably the highlight of the whole podcast so far has been doing it together, and yeah, that every single episode is like us either getting to interview an amazing expert in something and dive into their mind a little bit, or, you know, to dive into each other's minds as physical therapists about different pearls of the body, you know, in our PT pearls, and understanding how the other thinks about it. You know, we think very similarly, but there's some things that we come up to that we're like, okay, this is how I understand it. And mm-hmm, learning from each other professionally, learning from each other personally, and growing in our relationship together. Like, we launched this thing about a year after we met, just over a year after we met, and
right after we got engaged, which we were, yeah, supposed to launch it like right after we got engaged. And I, yeah, was like, we're gonna need a beat because I want to, yeah, actually enjoy that fact that we just got engaged, so let's not push this.
Literally
right now
got engaged and then we're like sitting like cramming
working
in. We're like, what the hell are we doing?
Yeah, seriously.
We didn't enjoy this for a minute. Yeah. So yeah, then we came out with the podcast, and now 100 episodes later already,
it's really, really incredible. And it's thanks to you who is listening. It's thanks to you who share it out to people to get help as well, and to know that it's possible to feel something different in the body. And I think that that's hopefully the message that you continue to hear over and over again of what's possible to feel, what's possible to gain within your body. You know, you don't have to feel the way. It could just be different. Even if it's pain, it could just be different, and you can live your life. So hopefully we're here to help you do that.
And remember the giveaway, $100 for the Optimal Body membership going out to 10 people. So leave a review, subscribe to the podcast. And what we need you to do, remember, is to email us a picture of your review or the name that you used for your review so that we can connect it to you and be like, okay, there's somebody that reviewed.
Yeah.
And then you
so
go into the drawing.
Email us so that we actually know who we can email in, yeah, response to win. If you really like this, if you're learning from it, share it out. Share it with your community. Tell us what you're learning. Rate and subscribe to the episode, because there's going to be so many more goodies and PT pearls along the way. And if you're ready to dive in even deeper, don't forget we have an Optimal Body membership with an incredible community of movers learning with us and moving in their body. Until next time, thank you again.